Boker Tov world. I'm afraid that I cannot give you my full self since it's in very bad shape from a migraine, but I'm going to do the best I can. So today was terrible. First day of the Masechet, not to be in good shape. It wasn't Zeicha. All right, so let's try to get ourselves oriented. Yesterday we were learning the closing inyanim of Nedarim, and surprisingly, they were stories about adultery, about issues of discovering somebody or a woman claiming that there was an adulterer present, and so on. And today we're moving on to Nazir. Now that is not really a coincidence, because we know that the way that the Torah presents the two sugyas, they're very related. The reason that Nazir is in Masechet, is in Seder Noshim at all, is very strange, because Be'ikar, Naziris, should appear not in Noshim, but should appear in Kachim, since most of its inyanim are Nogea Seder Kachim, as we'll see in the Gemara. The interrelationship is first of all clear from the fact that in the Torah itself, the parsha of Seita, an adultery, is immediately followed by Naziris, which means that the two are profoundly related, and the Gemara is going to explain how they're related. And then there's the other fact that V'ayayim lo timtza chen be'inav ki matzaba ervat davar means that one of the primary issues in the relationship to Seder Nashim is the question of the Kiddushin or the Gerushin. And since Matzaba Ervat Davar is central to the entire idea, the Klal Asher Asar Lanu, Hitir Lanu, and then the Metzias Chaim because of Ervat Davar, it makes sense to go directly to the Masechet that speaks to the underlying Yetzer Hara and its relationship to the freedoms that are curtailed by Naziris. So that's the first very strange issue. The reason why it's very important, and it's beautiful, isn't it? The way that the Gemara was arranged to go directly from adultery into Naziris. Wild. Because those closing stories in the Dorian were like really weird stories, right? People hiding under beds, jumping out through windows. It's that kind of strange TV series. Now, why is this so central to Nazir? It's because the Parsha of Nazir is not introduced by Zeh HaDavar, the way that Nedarim is. And yet, Nazir and Nedarim, as we've already seen back in Masechet Nedarim, because of the Pasuk of Ish Ki Yafli Lindor Neder Nazir LaHazir LaHashem, we have what appears to be a fundamental hekesh between the Inyanim of Nedarim and the Inyanim of Naziris. And in fact, according to one approach in the Gemara and the Dorim, we learned out many of the halachas of the applications of Kinuyim or of Yodais, or even of Baal Ta'acher, from one to the other because of that interrelationship. Why is it then that the Torah gives us a totally different introduction to the ideas of Nazir, and yet in the end is makish them to Neder? So we need to recognize that we have a very, very profound difference between the two sukkahs. When it comes to Nedarim, the Torah did not give you anything at all in terms of what a neder should consist of. It only gave you the ability to make a neder. And that is what interrelated Nidrei Hekdesh with Nidrei Iser, as we've seen all along. That in fact, according to some of the Rishonim, we wouldn't even know that there was a concept of Nidrei Iser if it wasn't derived directly from one's ability to make Nidrei Hekdesh. But when it comes to Naziris, that isn't the case. When it comes to Naziris, you enter the state of Naziris, but the Torah defines that state of Naziris. Now this leads to what appear to be serious anomalies in the understanding of the relationship of Neder to Nazir. Because look, if you don't have the issue of Neder, you can't become a Nazir. So that's the Lindor Neder Nazir LaHazir. The way into Nazirut is Dafka through Lindor Neder. But remember, in order for a Neder to be binding, the most fundamental Yesod is that you need to have Piv V'Libo Shavim. And the whole idea of the heter of a neder is that it gives you the insight that this is not what you really wanted. Now, the entry into the state of nezirut, which is accomplished through neder, seems to violate that yesod. Because, for instance, how long will the yisur apply? Well, in the Masechet Nedarim, we went through a very long analysis of what does a person mean when he says shana, when he says shana achat, when he says hashana, hashavua, and so on and so forth, all dependent on an understanding of his language. But when it comes to Naziris, the Torah defines the term. It's true that you can enter into more than one Naziris and they can run one after the other consecutively. And it's also true that you can insist that you want to be in a state of Naziris for longer, but you cannot define the term other than the minimal term of Naziris, which is Shloshim Yom. But you say, but I said beferish, I want to be a Nazir only for a day. How could I be forced to be something that I didn't have piva libo shavim? Or even worse, if somebody makes a neder and it isn't piva libo shavim, and it's even a suffix to us, so then that enters into the whole range of maybe it's a neder ta'ut, and it's a question of how much it's considered to be an umdana, that this is what he had. Is it yadayim mochichot or yadayim she'ena mochichot? How about if a guy enters into a status of nezirut and he specifies that he does not want all of the issues of nezirut? He says, I want to be a nazir in terms of drinking wine. I have no interest in growing my hair long. I certainly don't want to grow my hair. And I certainly cannot be limited in going to funerals. And he says this openly. Unbelievably, he becomes a nazir, because the Torah has defined the state of nazir. What do you want to do? Define some new state? Well, I thought that's what Nedarim was all about, defining new states that come out of nowhere, which is precisely why we call them Zeh HaDavar states. So that means that basically the concept of Naziris is really viewed as an antithesis to Erva. In other words, it's not just a little joke that, well, you know, people get into trouble when they get high and they can end up being violating Esh HaSish and so on. It's much more than that. It's that the state of Kedusha, of Nazir Hashem, if this is what you want to enter, then it is either or. You can, of course, create an ersatz Naziris, and you can say, I want to take a neder to have my hair grow long. I want to take a neder not to drink wine for 30 days. That does not give you Naziris. There has to be a concept of Naziris, a lashon of Naziris, a yad of Naziris, a kinoy of Naziris. That's true. But once you enter that state, it no longer matters what you wanted the state to consist of. And therefore, it isn't really a zeh hadavar. So even though, because of the hekesh, we recognize that it is a focus of bal yachel devoro, and all of the surim of nazir will also involve you in the isur bal yachel, and even though we learn from there that it's possible to be shoyal on the naziras, acherim mochalim lo, but the definition of the Naziris is not a Zeh HaDavar, and therefore it's not included in that entire Parsha. Instead, it's included in the Parsha, which is the extension of the Kedushas HaMishkan into the Machane, which is Parshas Masai, which includes all of these types of issues. How does the Mishkan affect your intimate life with your wife? How does the Naziris affect it? Is it possible for Kohanim to give you a brocha all over? You still relate to the Mishkan, and so on and so forth. All of those inyanim give a completely different coloration to the sugyas of Nazir, and because of that, the presentation in the Gemara is very different, obviously, because we need to understand what the Torah is talking about more than we need to understand what the individual is talking about. So even though at the opening of the Masechet, in a sense, we duplicate everything that we did in the Dorim. Why? Because the entree into Naziris is Lindor Neder Nazir Lahazir. And so that's the simple meaning of the pasuk. Besides the Hekesh, the only way in is through the mechanism of Nazir. Therefore, we're going to go through all of the issues that we went through in the Dorim, which includes the idea of Yad And that we learn out from the extra language, Lindor, Neder, Nozer, Lahazer, remember the whole sugya that we had back at the beginning in the Dorm. Why do we have these extra words? So we learn out that there's a concept of Yad, and that even though it is a language issue, which we saw is itself primarily a Noshim issue, and it occurs in the Torah only in the context of women, whether it's back in Gan Eden and the discovery of women through language, or whether it's in terms of the Dinim of Nedarim, which is Ben Av Lebito and Ben Ish Leishto. But here, we're going beyond that. Here we're going into other issues as well, which is the relationship to Kedusha and the Nazir Elohim and the, so to speak, the crown of the Nazir Al Roshai and a Kedusha that's imposed from the outside, which leads even to the most unbelievable sugyas of, if you have a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir, who is more valuable in terms of protecting from in Yonim of Tuma. I mean, that's like unbelievable. That's a direct taking the Kedushas HaMishkan and putting it on an individual who entered it through a neder. So we're going to have to go through the same sugyas of Yad L'Nazir, Kinoi L'Nazir, but we need to see Mesechet Nazir and Mesechet Nedarim as twins in those areas, just as the Torah sees them as twins. Lindar, Neder, Nazir, Lahazir. And therefore, as we go through the sugyas, we're shocked to discover that the Gemara Nazir, for some reason, takes oftentimes a completely different approach to exactly the same questions than the Gemara in the Dorim took to the very same questions. And that's because we have over here a strange interrelationship of the complete Zad Avar in which people are creating something out of nothing to another sense of outliers, which we've spoken about, the idea of outliers, and how much that involves in the Zeras, which is where the Torah provides a particular area for outliers. And we spoke about this recently, those of you who are learning the sugya of Shimshon, we see this very clearly. And that itself, by the way, is a very fascinating thing, because there's more than one type of Nazir. There's the standard Nazir that's defined in the Torah, of Lindor Neder, Nazir Lahazir, which is defined right then and there. But we know that a Malach described the state of Naziris to Shimshon, and not all of the issues obtained. He was allowed to be Metami L'Mesi. And we know that there was a different Naziris that we discover in Avshalom, who is the son of David HaMelech, and over there it says that he would cut his hair from time to time, which we'll see what that means. That means that there's a different state called a Nazir Olam, where there are periods in which he cuts his hair. So this is very much defined outside of the normal dinim of Nedarim, and therefore be prepared for some surprises. So now as we go on into reading the first daf, which basically you're going to find is almost an exact repetition of the first daf in Nedarim, so it should be easy enough to get through, we're going to detect all types of mild variations and departures from what we did over there, and we need to understand why we would attempt to understand things in one way as opposed to the other way when we get more deeply into a feel for this Masechet. And unfortunately, there is another terrible resemblance between the Nedarim and the Naziris, and that is the very difficult missing Rashi. Oh my gosh. There is no reliable Pirush Rashi on Nazir either. And so it's always referred to as the Mefaresh, not as Rashi. And when you go through the very first Rashis in this Masechta, your jaw will drop and you say, oh, come on, Rashi could never have said that. And you know what? You're right. And he didn't. The problem is that we also don't have our dearest friend that we've learned to appreciate so much, the Ron. So now we don't have one Rebbe and we don't have the other Rebbe. So what are we going to do? Well, it's not that simple, but mostly people rely on the Rush, even though the Girsaot of the Rush are not complete in most of the prints and so on. We shall do our best, but we've got a strike against us right at the beginning. So let us begin and note how this is a lovely review of Nedarim as well. And the Mishnah starts in exactly the same way. Remember that we have a concept called Kinuyim, which we have a Machlokas in Nedarim. What exactly Kinuyim are? And that is, are Kinuyim Lashon Umot? And that itself, we had a submach locus. Are they actual words from other languages? Or are they the bastardized versions of how it is that the Goyim imported words from Lashon HaKodesh and did it wrong, and they were unable to pronounce them properly? And that's what usually happens, is you get a word that becomes very warped by the language that absorbs it. Maybe that's the meaning. It's not literally Lashon Umais. And then we have Rish Lakish's approach, that actually there's a whole new concept of language which is called an artificial language. And it's a Lashon Asher Badu Lahem Chachamim. So that if we can create an artificial language, and why would we do that? Well, that's because the Parsha of Naziris is introduced by Lashem, Nazir Lashem. And just as we were concerned when it came to the Inyanim of Konomites and Korbanites, that somebody may use the word Korban Lashem, which is not a big problem, but what if you would say Lashem Korban? But what if we say, I want to do this Lashem, to be a Nazir, and then he wouldn't be marshaling his words? So in order to reestablish the chashivas of the Kedushas Hashem, we spoke about this a great deal in the Dorim as well, that the bizoyan that is involved in creating your own reality, taking upon you things that in a sense are saying, God didn't give me enough, I need to do things on my own, which is why we look at these things as a chet and a binyan bama. We want to reestablish the Kedushas Hashem so that people should not be mezalzel in saying the Shem Hashem Leshov, which according to some, any use of the Shem Hashem, even if it would be in other languages, would be considered to be over on the use of the Shem Hashem Leshov. And therefore, we mamish created an artificial language to avoid being nichshal, supposedly. In reality, these kind of things are overall structures of how we relate to the world. It's not necessarily that you and I are going to go ahead and make possibly a neder using the Shem Hashem and not concluding the neder and so on. That isn't the point. The point is, though, that the concept of neder, the concept of Naziris, and the issue of Binyan Bama, and recognizing how easy it is for human beings to enter into a little world of their own making, and how that world of their own making almost always, without one's realizing, causes one to fall into their own supposed religion. They think that they are doing the Ratzon Hashem, and they are actually living in a Bama. They think they're in the Beis HaMikdash, and they're actually in their own little world. These are limudim that are very profound and important limudim for people to have. That's the main point. That's the Yagdil Terah V'Yadir that we find even in sugyas where we say it'll never happen. There's no such thing. Nonetheless, it's Yagdil Terah V'Yadir because of the profound change that an Inyan in the Torah makes in the person who is attached to the Torah, who is a Ben Torah, who is a Loimei Torah, and it forms the way that he sees reality. So the entire idea of Kinuyim isn't necessarily literally to avoid coming to use the shame in that way, but anybody who learned that, I'm sure that all of, I'm sure all of you as well, came out of learning Masechet Nedarim with a completely new level of Yirah Shamayim in terms of using the Shem Hashem when it came to Brocha Levatola or a Suffolk Brocha and so on, because it forced us to go through the Sugya over there and to see how Chomer it was. So it's not directly very often when Chazal say, in order that. It's for the limud of what it means to live in a world of that level of Zahiris, what that does to a person. Okay, so remember that we have a concept of Kinuyim, in which either we are using the wrong word, but it sort of became a word because the Goyim imported it, or because we created artificial language essentially to mean that. And the Chiddush is that that too is included under the concept of language. Now, I want to mention over here the Shita of Rabbeinu Yechiel that Tosfos brings, in which he suggests that artificial, this is amazing, we wait until Naziris to hear this, that artificial language would not be sufficient to really create a Naziris D'oraisa. And therefore, according to Reish Lakish, who is the one who holds that that's the meaning of Kinuyim, you would not bring a carbon on that level of Naziris. Unbelievable. This is the only sheet that holds this. And we were wondering about that. And remember that the other Rishonim said, well, if generally language is created by consensus, other than Lashon HaKodesh, So why is the consensus of the Chachamim in an artificial language worse than the consensus of the Goyim? That was the Lashon, if you recall, of many of the Rishonim back in Adorim, who explained why we could actually achieve something that is a function of language with a non-extant language, an artificial language. So there we examined how broad the envelope is for thinking about language and relating it back to the original connection of language and women back in Gan Eden and the Raya that we bring from there, that Mikanch and Nivra Elom B'Lashon HaKodesh and so on. But here we have this one Shita, that indeed Reish Lakish is not telling us the Din of a Nazir is the Araisa. Quite amazing. That's Kinuyin. What are Yodais? Remember that Yodais are incomplete statements that can be completed by many different things. They can be completed by common usage. They can be completed by circumstance. They can be completed entirely by context, which sometimes includes circumstance. I mean, we had all of this issue that we're going to take into consideration. Somebody's pressuring you to come into the house and wants you to eat by them. And every time he meets you, he drives you nuts. And you finally say, I wouldn't come into your house even for a drink of water and things that there, the definition of what you're saying is contextual. When it comes to Naziris, we also have the inyanim of the contextual meaning in which a yad may be more or less persuasive to us. Now remember that we had three dargas of yadais. Yadais where the person is trying to say something, but leaves us completely up in the air as to what direction he was taking, whether he means A, B, C, or D. We don't have any indication one way or the other. Then we have yadaim she'enan mochichot, where it seems pretty reasonable that this is what he's trying to do, but it's not 100% clear to us. And then we have yadaim mochichot. We had a machloket about the issue of yadayim she'enan mochichot, whether considered to be full yadayim to establish a neder or not. And we're going to see we have the same question over here when it comes to naziris. Now, these inyanim, kinuyim, remember, required no limud, but rather it was an analysis. As far as masha'in came, the yadais, we learned out from the extra language of nindor neder, nazir lahazir. And therefore, the Mishnah was constructed in a very strange way. In Adorim, we were ready to even suggest that maybe the first words of the Mishnah are missing. Over here, we don't want to say that. Gemara here does not want to entertain such a possibility, and therefore the Mishnah does begin with Kol Kinuyei Naziris K'Naziris, even though in Adorim we said, well, maybe we should change that to Kol Yodais. Okay, here we're accepting Kol Kinuyei Naziris K'Naziris, and just like in Masechet Nedarim, we need to insert the missing words. The missing words are Ve'yadot Nezirut K'Nezirut. And we open the Mishnah by explaining Yadot, which wasn't even in the Mishnah Beferish. Exactly what happened back in Adar. So, Ha'omer Ahei, a guy says, I should be. He's a Nazir? I should be. Mean he's a Nazir. So we're going to see in the Gemara that it doesn't really mean I should be. It means I should be contextually. And it's talking about a case where there was a Nazir walking right there. And the guy's looking at him and he says, ah, I should be. Okay. So in context, it certainly sounds like I should be a Nazir. So if he says, hey, I raise a Nazir. If he says, hey, na'eh, I should just be beautiful. So now, okay, I mean, if a Nazir is walking in front of him, this guy obviously has not been re-educated by his yeshiva experience, and he actually thinks that that long hair is beautiful. So he says, I want to be beautiful. You know, he figures if he becomes a Nazir, what are they going to do? They can't force him to get a haircut. He's a Nazir, right? So the question is, Ehina eh, does that necessarily mean I'm a Nazir? Well, as it turns out in the Gemara, the contextual meaning of this is different than the contextual meaning of Ehe. Why? Because if you just say, I should be, and there's a Nazir in front of you, that is very suggestive of Naziris. But, believe it or not, saying I should be beautiful actually is worse than just saying I should be. Because I should be refers to a state of being. And a state of being, what is a state of being? I mean, Naziris is in fact a state of being. So over there, if I see a Nazir coming by, as we introduced, the idea of Naziris as a state of being is the reason that the Torah gives us these, all of these dinim in Beferish HaPsukim, which are totally not Zeh HaDavar issues. They are very precisely defined by the Torah. So that it's possible for you to enter into a state of being that may be more than you are really ro'i to be. That was the whole Shimon HaTzadik discussion, remember, about the way that he felt about Nazirim and so on. But saying, I want to be beautiful. Now, there are many ways that a person can be beautiful. He could be beautiful because he has beautiful hair. But over there, the state of being beautiful is much more likely to be etna elefanav b'mitzvot. So let's say you even see a Nazir walking down the street. In the state of mind of a Ben Yisrael, to be beautiful, it's not enough to have a nice chup. To be beautiful, you need to have a nice soul. So if the person really wants to be beautiful, and I really mean that, it sounds like ridiculous, but I think it's really, really true. I don't think that Bnei Yisrael are attracted to physical beauty if it at the same time is expressing an internal emptiness. It simply isn't interesting. And it needs to be a beauty of soul. And that's exactly the idea of the Yefei Tear and Yefei Mar'eh. Those are different issues. One of them is an internal beauty. So if the person, even if he sees a Nazir, and even if this Nazir is very beautiful, if he's saying, I want to be beautiful, he may be saying, wow, this, look what it did to this person to enter into a state of Kedusha. I should be beautiful by being etna elefanav b'mitzvot. I should take more care. I should dress nicer when I put on my tefillin. I should have better Shabbos clothes. I should have a sefer Torah that's beautiful, whatever. So he might be referring to other things, and therefore, contextually, believe it or not, the Gemara is going to come out that to say ahei, it's enough to be in the presence of another. But to say ahei na'eh, it would be adayim she'inan mochichot. We don't know what you mean. And the only way that it would mean to be a Nazir is if you're holding your hair, if you have any, and you say, eh, hey, na, eh, you know, so then we know what you want, right? But otherwise it's going to take a shaitl, I'm afraid. Okay, so if he says, eh, na, eh, he could be a Nazir under certain circumstances. Now, suppose he uses these other words. Now, we're moving away from Yadayim now into Kinuyim. And he says, I want to be a Nazik. What the heck is a Nazik? I want to be a Naziach. I want to be a Paziach. Well, all of these are weird kinuyim. Now, here's this incredible Rashi. It's absolutely amazing. So Rashi says, how the heck do you arrive at these words as being kinuyim if they are Lashonis of the Goyim? So he suggests, well, maybe importing words is actually importing a dictionary. And if you import the dictionary, then you're stuck with the written word, right? So, I mean, imagine if the bottom of the kuf got erased and that nazik without the bottom of the kuf is really nazir. So suppose they spelled it wrong and they added the line to make it a nazik, you know? And even a Naziach, well, I mean, it's easy to turn a Naziach into a Nazir. Take the left leg of the Ches and throw it out, and then it turns into a Resh, you know, and then you've got a Nazir. That's if he's in a Naziach. And a Paziach, well, for heaven's sakes, if you throw out both the leg of the Chet and you also throw out the roof of the Pei, guess what you're left with? A Nazir. This is Rashi's approach. Don't blame me for it. But anyway, as we saw obviously in the Torah, it certainly doesn't have to be limited to printed dictionary problems. It's just cute. Anyway, in all of these cases, these words are words that can stand in for the actual word of the Nazir. Again, remember that if these are artificial words, which is not what I just described in Rashi, then there's a question, according to one Rishon, that maybe it isn't a full Nazir in terms of Karbanos. Now, suppose the guy who says, Harini kezeh, I want to be like that. And this is like a hatfasa. We're going to see what type of Lashonos these is. But it does not make sense to say that this is suddenly going back to the Yodot. it must be that these are ways of referring directly to the state of Nazir. So the Gemara is going to examine what this would mean. Hareini gezeh, hareini misalsel. Misalsel, remember we had that. Ad matay ata misalsel b'sa'arecha, salsalah v'tramimcha, that whole story of the Shifcha of Rebbe. Anyway, so this means I want to be able to put my hair into curlers. Okay, so that would be another way of saying it. Hare alai l'shaleach pera. I should have long hair, which is what pera means. But of course, that comes from lifroa at the Rosh HaYisha and the Parsha of Saita. So it's even more interesting, the connection here. Hare zenozer. How about if a guy says, Hare alai tziporim? Now, it's true that there is a korban of tziporim in the event that he became tameh. It's not normally part of the nazirut. So he says, I should be mukhuyav and tzipurim. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean that he is being neider, a neder of bringing an eila sa'ov, and he wants to bring either two b'nei yonah, or two, I mean, I don't know, maybe he's just talking about bringing an eila. It's a funny way of referring to a nazir, even though it's possible for a nazir to end up being chayav and tzipurim. So Rabbi Meir says that's enough to make him a nazir. And the Chachamim say, no, maybe it's Chayev and Tziporim. All to be examined in the Mishnah, in the Gemara on our Mishnah. Now, the first question that we're asking is a general issue, which we did not ask before when it came to Masechet Nedarim. We never asked, what is Nedarim doing in Seder Nashim? But that's because it's clear what Nedarim is doing in Seder Nashim. Nedarim is all about language, and Nedarim is all about Bein Av L'Bito and Bein Ish L'Ishto. Well, of course it has to do with Seder Nashim. That goes without saying. The only thing we wanted to know in Masechet Nedarim is the interrelationship of Nedarim, Nazir, and Seder, but not why it bothers having Nedarim in the Seder. But when it comes to Nazir, we are concerned by the fact that it's much more of a sugya of kachim than it is a sugya of nashim. So why are we including it over here? So my taima, tanat beseder nashim koi, my taima tani nazir. If we've been discussing women, why do we suddenly talk about this besechet? We're so full of dinim, of karbonas, and hilchas tuma, and so on. Why here? Because he's going back to the Pasuk. The Pasuk tells us that the Seder Nashim includes not only the idea of giving a get, and not only the idea of being Mekadesh and Isha, but also the ongoing preservation of a relationship which can lose its chen. And what causes the loss of chen is Ki Matzaba Ervat Davar. So the whole sugya of Gittin is introduced. So then that means what it's saying is, by insisting that I want to include Nazir here in Nashim, I am saying to you, that's the meaning of Halkika Amma, the Tana is coming to say to you, that you, in your mind, you think that these are unrelated phenomena. You think that the way that you are a slob in one area has nothing to do with becoming a slob in another area. But it's not true. And that the fact is, mi garam la la'avera, this looseness that would lead to adultery, where does such looseness come from? So it comes from a gradual looseness of the person's connection, bichlal, to the appropriateness of his das in his behavior. And therefore, it starts with the cocktail hour, right? And from the cocktails, it ends up in bed. Now, you didn't think that when you walked in for the cocktails. And strangely enough, look how many people discover exactly that. And this is without necessarily having put drugs in someone's cocktails, which is, of course, another indication of how. Now, I'm saying it's not a joke. It sounds like a joke. But there's a reason why cocktails, drugs, and adultery go together. That's exactly what the Tana is saying. It's a sensitivity to all of that that allows a person to negotiate his way in a very complex and crazy world. So therefore, when you see what has happened to tear this woman up. This was once a choshev, a married woman, and now she's walking around with her hair uncovered, with her breasts uncovered, and she's, everybody is saying, you know, look what happened to her, and she's, it's a disaster. How did this happen? Yazir atzmo min hayayin. So he should go back to the underlying issues, and he should take seriously that if he has been exposed to something like this, it's a message. And things don't just occur to a person. They're meant for him to respond to. And that's what he should do. He should go as far as he can from the beginnings of this slippery slope. Now, how do you understand the Mishnah, says the Gemara? Now that we've established the idea of how it is that these Mesechtas come together, remember, we still need the words of Mesechet Nedarim and of Mesechet Yaakov. You want to just mute? Because you haven't told me the order. The order is all wrong. We have Nedarim, Nozir, Saita. And how did that happen? I mean, why don't we go from Saita to Nozir? So, I mean, we could do Nedarim, Saita, Nozir. If it's Kalaroya, Saita, Pekakulo, Yazir, Atzma, Menayayim. We still need the insight of Mesechet Nedarim. That we say Nedarim because we had the Parsha of Nedarim in Mesechet Ketuvot. So we said Nedarim after Ketuvot. And that was the whole, wow, prokim full of issues of an Isha that was at Yeshua and Nedarim and so on. That brought us to Nedarim. Once we're in Nedarim, if we've already made the determination that we will be discussing Nozir in this Seder, then it makes sense that since the Pesach to Nozir has to be through Neder, and the two sukkahs go hand in hand, Lindor Neder, Nozir Lahazir, that after we do Nedarim, we'll do Naziris. Since these are deeply connected to the idea of adultery, as we just saw, so then we go on, having gone directly from the proper Ksuvis, we go directly into the Dinim of the Seita, which is what we've been trying to avoid. V'yomar Rava. So Rava has explained how it is to read the Mishnah. Some say it wasn't Rava, it was said Kidi, it wasn't said in anybody's name, that actually it's missing something. And this is a classic case of Chisur and Mechasra, V'ochi Katoni. The understanding of the Mishnah is meant for you to insert the missing words, as the Gra explains. Doesn't mean that we change, you know, write it into the Mishnah. It means that you understand that kol kinuyei nezirut kinezirut, yadot nezirut kinezirut, and put in the words ve'elu hein yadot. Now go back to the lashon of the Mishnah, ha'omer ha'hei ha'rei ze nazir. Okay. Now, that means that what we're doing is we are giving you over the dinim of yadais, despite the fact that we started the Mishnah with kinuyim. Well, I don't understand. If we started with kinuyim, let's explain kinuyim first. If we then go on to v'yadot, then we should go to yadot. Instead, we do it the opposite way. Now, remember, the Gemara in the Nedarim said, well, maybe we should just bite the bullet and start the Mishnah by what's missing. And instead of saying kol kinuyei, say kol yadot nezirut kinezirut. So over there, we were there Nedarim kinedarim. We were willing to do that in Nedarim. We're not willing to do that in the Zeros for some reason. And the Mesechet over here will behoove us to understand the derech of the thinking of the Gemara here in Nazir, so that we arrive naturally at an understanding of why that would be so clear. But at this point, let's just move on to the way that our Gemara understands it. So the Gemara says, okay, if you started explaining kinuyim, kol kinuyei nedarim, then why don't we actually tell me what those are? Well, says the Gemara, you know, we always basically start from what we finish. So if we have a list, and we have the kol kinuyei nedarim, or kol kinuyei nezirus, and kol yadais nezirus, so then we'll start explaining. What are the yadais nezirus? So tana amiyahu desalik, ahu mefarsh bereisha. So where you've got more than one thing, we'll start the explanation. Last one described is first one explained. That's the rule. I'll show you. Take a look at this. Kiditanan. How about in Masechet Shabbos we have Bameh Madlikin Ubamein Madlikin. What do we do first? Ein Madlikin. Over there we start with the Ein Madlikin. We don't start with the Bameh Madlikin, right? Okay, so you see, we had a list. What not, what yes, and sorry, what yes, what not? Here's understanding what not. Or, Bamet Tomnim, Ubamo Ein Tomnim. Same question over there. Covering over your food to preserve the heat. We start explaining, first we start describing there's some things that you can use for insulation and others that you can't. And then we go directly to say, Ein Tomnim. Why? Because we always start with what we finished. How about the case again in Shabbos? And then we said, why? Because that's what we finish with. So I think that's pretty good proof that whenever we have a list of things, we'll start from last mentioned, first explained, and that's exactly what we're doing over here. Now, the problem, of course, is the same problem that we raised in Masechet Nedarim, that we have Mishnayot that are clearly not that way. Ask the Gemara, well, what about Vatanan? I mean, you brought me three Mishnayos in Shabbos, I'm going to bring you another one in Shabbos. And then we start explaining Yotze HaGamal. Well, wait a minute. First, you're supposed to tell me with what you finished. You should have said, Ein HaGamal Yotzeit. Or, how about this? I mean, it's not Masechet Shabbos, but I think Baba Basra is a good place, no? Yesh nochalin u'manchilin. Nochalin v'lo manchilin. Manchilin v'lo nochalin. Lo nochalin v'lo manchilin. Now, according to you, we should be starting with ve'elu lo nochalin v'lo manchilin. But it's not. We say ve'elu nochalin u'manchilin, which means that we went back and we started explaining it in exactly the same order we presented it. So that's a violation of your rule. It's exactly the opposite. True, says the Gemara. In fact, li'olam, tanihachi v'tanihachi, the particular order is actually open to either way, but there's a reason why we choose one above the other. It's not meant to be random, and the different circumstances, or the different lengths, as we spoke about in the Dorim, which here we don't look at, or the different levels of interest, or the different places from where the din was derived. All of those issues we spoke about, except for level of interest, we spoke about in the Dorim. Here we're going to introduce a new reason that we didn't mention there, which is the level of interest. And that's fascinating. So in the three first examples that we brought of Mishnayos in Masechet Shabbat, we're over there, we actually do start with last mentioned, first explained. I'll tell you why we do that. It's a matter of interest. When somebody is reading about an isser that obtains in his own life, well, that, ooh, what's the din about that? That's immediately his response. What's the din about that? He wants to make sure that he's not over on something. So therefore, where you're talking about issues that have to do with, okay, what are you allowed to light? What are you allowed to do with your chalent? What are you allowed to walk out with? And so on. Whatever is nogea, the possibility of iser, you want to hear first about that. And therefore, we're going to present that first to you because we give you what you are more interested in. Masha'en king, when we got to the mission of Bame Behima, well, people don't take as seriously a problem of what their behemoth is wearing or carrying on Shabbos as they do of what they are wearing or carrying on Shabbos. And therefore, it's one step away from that level of interest. And because of that, we want to describe it in terms of the behemoth and not in terms of your interest. So there, we define the heter bereisha because this is the way that an animal should be on Shabbat. Well, that makes a great deal of sense. Now, what about in Yesh Nochalin? Well, there also, there's a reason why we would begin with the ones who are Nochalin and Manchalin. Because that's the norm, right? The Iker Nachala will work in both directions. And therefore, I mean, yes, obviously you can come up with cases where it will only work in one direction, but certainly the first thing explained, this is the norm. And then what happens in the event that, and then you can describe those cases, also makes very, very much sense. Now, what we're talking about over here, however, is not clear. So there, I can come up with an explanation, but I can't come up with an explanation here. If you're telling me it's not that we can decide arbitrarily when we want to do the first in, first explained, or when we want to do last in, last, first explained, so then how do you explain our Mishnah? Why shouldn't we explain the kinuyim in the Reisha? I mean, isn't an actual acceptance of a full Naziris much more the norm than saying a half-baked statement that then we're going to have to fill in because of a particular kind of context to tell me these cases? I mean, that's what you want to start with? Just first tell me the idea. So, be mefarish, the kinui. Look, the word nazir can be also served by the word paziach and naziach, whatever. And okay, but it's like a full word, right? And then tell me, you can even become a nazir without even saying the full Naziris. You can even use a yad. Instead, we went with Mefarish yad first. That's, if you tell me that's not random, then why is it? I'll tell you why. Because, as we explained in the Dorian, things that the derivation are more exciting to me, not because the topic is more exciting, but because the derivation is my chiddush. That's always called chaviv. We appreciate those parts of the Torah that we have been able to work out for ourselves. And we know that that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates in us. That's why it says, Yismach Hashem b'ma'asav. So it was the first Kal V'chomer made by the Deshayim. That's one of the Midrash HaTorah Nedrashes b'ham. So here comes a Chiddush, the first Chiddush HaTorah, and it says, Yismach Hashem b'ma'asav. So you see, it's Chaviv Leh. Okay, so those things that we discover ourselves, this goes back all the way to Maaseh Bereishis. This is what life is about. And therefore, creativity and discovery always should come first. And therefore, it's chavivin le, and the Tana is going to put it first because we needed to get that from the extra word of nazir, lehazir, which landed up teaching us that there's an extra way to become a nazir, which is through a yad. Okay, so then if that's the case, so then why didn't you start with that? I mean, if it's so chaviv, don't you think you should have said it? Start kol yadot nizirut k'nizirut, right? No, not true, because when you introduce things and you're giving over an exposition of what this particular issue consists of, then obviously you're going to give over the norms at the beginning. This is what I mean by nazir. Fine. So then you start be'ikr korban. When you say korban doesn't mean be'ikr korban, unless you're going to tell me there's an afkamina of a korban like the Rabbeinu Yechiel. But the idea over here is be'ikr korban is I want to tell you the simple meaning of how to make a naziris that leads you to bringing these korbanas naziris and so on. So therefore, I'm going to teach you those dinim up front. But to be mefarish you, well, now that's my, now you're giving me a chance to give you a lecture, right? Okay, so I've told you this is what the topic consists of. Now, here's what I have to say about that topic, and I'm very excited about it. Let me share with you, gentlemen, today, I have discovered that there are also yadais. Let me tell you all about yadais. But no, I got to tell you this first. I mean, this is really exciting. Okay, so to be mefarish, yadais bereisha. So let's see, I mean, how does that work? Somebody says, hey, he's a nazir? I mean, that seems awfully far-fetched. He could mean anything when he says that, if he's a hey. And the Mishnah is clearly saying he's really a nazir. I mean, you're telling me ikar karban. I mean, the guy's going to be bringing chulin lazara because you're claiming that that's what he meant. I mean, I don't know how many people would think that's what he meant. So how could that be? Maybe he means, when a person wants to be mekabala tainus, doesn't he use the word a hey? Ehei b'ta'anit. That's the norm for that. We say in Hebrew, ehei b'ta'anit. So he's mekabel ta'anit in his tefillah after his mincha, erev the ta'anit. And he says, tomorrow I'm going to be b'ta'anit. Ehei b'ta'anit. Isn't that also ehei? So maybe that's what he meant. Dilma ehei b'ta'anit kalmar. I mean, I understand it's not, look, it's either going to be one or the other because it refers to a state, right? It doesn't refer to doing something. So it certainly is not, hey, I shall be running to do my wife's shopping tomorrow. That's not I shall be. This is I shall be. So, okay, I shall be in a state of a tainus, I shall be in a state of naziris. But how do you know which one? Omar Shmuel, Kigon Shayanazir Over Lifanav. It's talking about over here that what triggered the statement seems contextually to be the presence of this Nazir. And then when all of a sudden this guy responds with a hey, then it means that he's a Nazir. But what? But otherwise what? Otherwise, Shmuel, you're telling me that he would not? Let me ask you something. Which is more reasonable? In a case where it's true that when a person is makabel on himself, a tainus, he uses the word ehe. But how do you say the word ehe? Ehe bita'anit, right? So there's a big difference between ehe nazir and ehe bita'anit. Because the ehe is not something that happens to the person. It's something that the person inserts himself into, if it's a ta'anit. Nazirus redefines him. Ehe nazir, not ehe benizirut. So isn't it much more likely, wouldn't you say, Shmuel, that when a guy says ehe, there's no nazir there. What is more likely? That he's meant to say, I will be in a state of tainus, or I will be a nazir? I mean, I will be a nazir is much more direct than I will be in something. Agreed? So then it ought to be, at the very least, Yadayim she'enan mochichot. Now remember that we had this issue back in the Dorim, which I opened our discussion with today. There are some Yadayim where they are more likely to mean A than B, and there are some Yadayim that are balanced between A and B, and then there are some Yadayim that are contextually almost clearly A or B. We gave them those three different levels, that there's Yadayim that are Bechlal not considered to be Yadayim. There's Yadayim She'enan Mochichot, and there are Yadayim Mochichot. Now, when Shmuel says there's got to be a Nazir that's walking in front of you, that is establishing the need for, apparently, Yadayim Mochichot. Because even if there weren't a Nazir there, then I would have said to myself, well, how do you understand the language of I will be? Does it mean I will be in, or does it mean I will be something? If it means I will be something, then it doesn't offer you the option of being understood. I will be what? Be a mit'ane? That's not a state. You can be in a state of ta'anit, but you don't change because of the fact that you are in a state of fasting. So it ought to be that if Shmuel held that Yadayim she'enan mochichot are sufficient, he wouldn't have had to postulate a case where there's an actual nazir standing there. He could have said, look, guys, it's much more reasonable that it means ehe b'nazir, and therefore yadayim she'enan mochichot are sufficient. Since he insisted that it's talking about where the nazir was present, apparently, lema kasav Shmuel, yadayim she'enan mochichot lo havin yadayim. He's saying, I don't pay any attention to those words if there hadn't been a nazir. Says the Gemara, not necessarily, because Amri, it could be that where a Nazir is there, it's true. We have no thoughts that it might mean something else. Leka lisapuke b'milta achrini, but we do not agree with your assumption that if ain't a Nazir over lefanav, that it still is not very likely that the guy is saying, hey, in a state of ta'anit. Your analysis that would be merely no yadayim at all, and not yadayim she'enan mochichot, that's not necessarily true. If ain't a nazir over lefanav, then it would mean that maybe he is referring to a case, amrinat, dilma ahei b'ta'anit ka'omar, and not what you're explaining, that the idea of ehe, it's also, it means that it would be ehe in a state of ta'anit. It's not true. If he would have just said ehe, then in the idea would have mean, could be just as likely one way or another. And that's why it wouldn't have been anything. Shmuel had no choice but to say that there's something there that's pushing you in the direction of Naziris. And, well, what would that be? So that would be the fact that there would be a Nazir there. But otherwise, it's, to me, just as likely one way or the other. Okay, even if there's another there, the Nazir there, okay? How do you know that he means that he wants to be a Nazir? Why can't it mean that he is saying, this guy took all this on himself, hey, I want to be involved. How would you be involved? I'm going to pay for his carbonas. This guy is, and you see people do this all the time. You know, they see somebody did a good thing. They say, you know what? I'm going to pay for the taxi. I want to support a guy like you. Okay, so maybe that's what the guy says. And hey, I also want to be involved, right? So how do you know? Maybe that's all that he means, even if there is a nazir there. Well, it's talking about a case, de ka'omar bilibo. So he did it not only when there was a nazir there, but he also had clearly in mind, and he says, I meant this to be a nazir. So therefore, there's another issue that the Gemara is being maram is here. And that is, remember that we had a klal about the stam nedarim and suffik nedarim, or whether we're going to be lahachmir, if we could explain it in two different ways. But when it came to naziras, the din is that it's lahakel. And therefore, in this case, if the guy says, when that nazir was there, I had in mind to actually be a nazir. So if you put the two together and you have the contextual language that implies it, and he's saying pi v'libo shavim, so then that's the reason he's a nazir. Wait a minute. So then if that's the case, wouldn't it be enough? If you're telling me the guy says, we go to him and we ask him, so what do you mean? He says, well, I meant I wanted to be a nazir. When you said, hey, you meant you want to be a nazir? Yeah. So then why do we need the nazir there at all? So if that's the case, ma'ala memra, so then why is it saying that hey means a nazir? Because ma'o detema mi'inan piv v'libo shavim. You would not have, if the guy didn't say the word nazir, it's not enough to say, I meant this to be a nazir, because you need to actually express nizirut. And therefore, in that case, you didn't say anything. Just saying a hey, maybe even with the nazir there, that's not enough. It's still a chiddush. That contextual ehays are enough to be piv v'li by shavim, which is necessary. It's not enough to know what a guy has in his heart. And therefore, it's got to mean that he is a nazir. And why is I want to be beautiful? Why does that make him a nazir? Couldn't I want to be beautiful be a response, even if there's a nazir there? I also want to be beautiful when it comes to mitzvahs. So diomet na'elefanav b'mitzvot. That is, by the way, the language. Ze eli v'anveyu. What does that mean? V'anveyu means I want to make myself beautiful by doing beautiful mitzvahs. And na'elefanav b'mitzvot. So I mean, this is so popular a word that it became the title of a novel, of a book, you know. This is my God. That's Van Veil. So that people think in those terms. And elefanav b'mitzvot, eselefanav sukana'a, lulavna'a, tzitzitna'a, echtov sefer Torah na'a. I'll wrap that sefer Torah with beautiful mantle of the sefer Torah. And have a kerechenu b'shira'ina'in. So maybe that's what it means, even if there is an azir lefanav. Said Shmuel, you're absolutely right. To say that you want to be beautiful should mean dafka naziras is only when the guy is holding his hair and he's saying, I want to be beautiful, which means I'm looking forward to having that long, beautiful, curly hair that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, taltalim shechorod. That's what I want also. And that's beautiful. Now the question is naziras beautiful? That's the Gemara's next question. Because if the zeros is inappropriate, you can hardly call it beautiful. And that is something that we need to deal with tomorrow.